We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 6, and that's on page 5 in the back of the Bible. Matthew chapter 6. And I'm going to read verse 1 through verse 4 of chapter 6 of the Gospel of Matthew. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be seen in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. We'll just stop there. There's so much here, I don't know if we'll have enough time to cover it. These four verses tell us a lot. We've been considering what we call the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew, which is Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. It's the first great sermon of the Lord Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. There are five great sermons in the Gospel of Matthew, and this is the first. Three chapters, and it gives us the introduction to the kingdom of heaven that the Lord Jesus had come to introduce. You know, when we consider what happened with Adam at creation, it was the opposite for Adam. When Adam came, everything had already been created for him. The plants were all there. The animals were all there. The fresh water, everything was provided. And then God created man. And he told Adam, have dominion over it all. But when the Lord Jesus came, it's the exact opposite. Nothing is ready. Nothing is ready. The kingdom is not ready. The people aren't even ready to receive it. So he has to introduce. He is the king. He's the second Adam. He is the one who's come to reign over all creation. And he has to set things right. And it begins with the human heart. In the fifth chapter of Matthew, when he began, he talked about those that will be blessed. And what a unique group of people that are blessed. Completely different than we would expect. Those that mourn, those that are poor in spirit, the meek, they're the ones that will be blessed in relation to this coming kingdom. And the Lord Jesus gives 9 of these blessings. And the last one, as we often say, was very personal. When he said in verse 11, blessed are ye, chapter 5, verse 11, when men shall revile you. He wasn't talking in generalities anymore. He made it very, very personal to those that were listening. If they revile you because of my namesake, for my namesake, at the end of that verse. So it was those that would identify themselves with the Lord Jesus Christ would be persecuted. And they would be blessed because they were willing to take a stand for him in a world that has rejected him. And it wasn't only for those first century people that listened to what the Lord said, that actually heard his audible voice. It's been recorded for all the generations from that point till this very moment. So it applies as well to us. 9 blessings. And we had looked at the whole chapter of Matthew 5. And in there we found, at the end of the chapter, 6 situations in which the Lord Jesus had to correct the false teachings of his day in regards to what men had said about the Bible. He said, you have heard it said, but I say unto you. And he gave 6 examples there. And now, as we start chapter 6, he's going to give 3 more insightful points. The 6 and the 3 correspond very nicely with the 9 blessings. And we see this start of this in the giving of alms. In chapter 6, verse 1. The Lord is now going to talk about outward actions. Outward actions. This has to do with as we act towards others. giving of alms, is acting towards others. The next one is prayer, that is actions towards God. And the last one is fasting, that's actions towards ourselves. But the first one is actions towards others. Actions towards others. The focus is on the practice of the law, what men were to do. The first six, which were involving the heart, the inward moral righteousness. And we have to confess, if we're honest with ourselves, we can't live up to it. We fall short. And I believe that is the intent the Lord really wants to bring out. We can't measure up to these demands. The Pharisees, those teachers of old who taught the scriptures, they looked at the outward conformity, but they never looked at the heart. The Lord Jesus comes and he looks at our hearts. He knows what's going on here in my heart. I may be able to hide it from you, and likewise you from me, but the Lord Jesus knows. I can't hide from him. But, you know, those Pharisees, they didn't look at that. They looked at the outward. And they became, really, blind leaders of the blind. They were religious teachers that were more interested in the exact application of every little detail, and they showed no compassion to the people. They didn't give them one hand to lift them up to help keep these things. In this verse, we see, take heed. That's an important expression. Some translations have beware. You know, it means to pay special attention to what we're about to hear. Take heed. Pay special attention. Take special attention. What I'm about to say to you, the Lord is saying to us. And the word alms is actually incorrect. It's the word for righteous acts in the first verse. So take heed that you do not do your righteous acts. Your good deeds, you know, the things that others would admire, your compassions, your displays of nice things that you do for other people. We're to do that, right? We're to do that. We found in the chapter 5, at the end of verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. So we're to let our light shine so they see our good works. But now we're not supposed to do our good works that they be seen of them. So how is that? Is that a conflict? Is that a contradiction? Well, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, you would say that's a contradiction. But it isn't a contradiction. Let me suggest something to you. That the first expression in chapter 5, verse 16, that may see your good works, has to do with the fact that if you are doing good works with the right motive, so that they would bring glory to God, in that way, they really can't be hidden. They can't. Eventually, you'll be found out. But when you're doing the good works, you're not doing it for that purpose. That's what the Lord's bringing out now in chapter 6, verse 1. You're not doing it so that you're, in a way, saying, look at me, everybody. Look at what a great gal and great guy I am. You're not doing it for that reason. And this is what the Lord warns us about. We're exhorted to overcome our hesitation to even act in the right way in Matthew 5, verse 16. Whereas in Matthew 6, verse 1, we are exhorted to act in a way that only God receives the glory. We don't want to be seen of men. We don't want to make a spectacle of ourselves to be gazed upon, a theatrical righteousness. You know, I was in the textile industry working in New York City, and while the company I worked for was not owned by Jewish people, majority of the industry is Jewish, the fashion industry and the textile industry. And we would be invited to dinners, and I'll never forget the first year I was there, and my boss says, well, you got to come along. We have to have 10 people. We have to have a table. you know, as we come, there's like 500 people in the room. And it was a promotion to receive, collect funds. It was a benefit dinner for a Jewish Orthodox school, okay? And we had our dinner, and then the speech, and then they began to read off the donations. Goldstein and Company, they're giving $100,000. Whoa! Feldstein and Company, they're giving $50,000. Wonderful! Milliken and Company, a Gentile company, they're giving $5,000. Wow! A Gentile company is giving $5,000. You know, and it was like we were, you know, heroes because we were Gentiles. But at any rate, it is this that the Lord is really speaking against, this self-grandizing ourselves. And you know, there's a consequence to it at the end of the verse. You have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. So the question, I think, is posed to those that heard the Lord, and we could add ourselves now, where do you want to get your reward? Where do you want to get your reward? Do you want your reward, short-lived reward, now? Because you can't have it both ways. You can't have your great reward now in the praise of men and women versus in the future when the Lord, when it says the Father in heaven is going to reward us at the end of verse 4. This is the thing that is presented to us. If you want to get the praise of men, you can. But there's a consequence to it. It's very short-lived. Imagine if we live, let's say we live 90 years, 100 years. I don't know too many people that live that long, but let's suppose you did. And while you were alive, you did something heroic, and you received praise. That's only for those many years. What's that compared to the millennium of 1,000 years reign with Christ and the thereafter with him in heaven for all eternity? That is far lasting. So we would keep that in mind, keep that in perspective. Verse 2, therefore, when thou doest thine alms. You know, this is the word for alms. This is the word for alms. And notice it's not if. The Lord Jesus is not saying, well, it's optional for those who are going to be citizens in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. It's optional to do good deeds. It's optional to be giving. No, it's not optional. It's when. It's anticipated. When. Verse 2 and verse 3. When. When. So keep in mind that as we are to be good citizens in the kingdom of heaven, we are to be doing these things. When thou doest thine alms, thine alms, gifts to help the needy or other causes, such as in that day the maintenance of the temple, there was gifts given. Don't sound the trumpet. Can you imagine sounding a trumpet? I believe it's an expression that the Lord is using here to bring about that, all right, I'm about to do something, and I want everybody to know, so I blow my own trumpet. Maybe we use that expression, blow your own trumpet, so that everybody suddenly stops and looks at me. You know, I sound my own trumpet, and I draw attention to myself. This is what we're not to do. So we begin to understand what it means to not do our alms or righteous acts before men. We're not to do that. We're not to try to do it so it's a theatrical good works that others would praise us. There is this story about the temple. It's true. And it is written about in some historical books about the temple before it was destroyed in 70 AD. And at the time when you would give, there was these different, we would say, sections around the temple that had figurines of trumpets. There were 13 of them. And these baskets or places to place gifts, alms, to bring alms, was in the Temple Mount, temple there. And you would go, and they were in a public place. People could see you come. And there was some that was specifically for the needy, some specifically for, okay, this would be fabric for the people for to make clothes. This would be maybe food. This would be maybe gold to be used in some ornament for the temple. And these different 13 things were. And those were all public in display, but there was also another place that was not public in display. It was it was called the silent place. The silent place. And if you went there to give, you couldn't be seen. You would go there and you would, you know, perhaps you'd put some food there. And the poor, who were pious and loved God and would go to the temple, they could go there and take for what they needed, also anonymously. And it was a way, it was God's provision to provide a way of doing a good deed without bringing attention to oneself. Even in the temple system, God had provided. And we could see how the Lord may have, and that being a fact, he may have been thinking of that when he said, don't blow your own trumpet, but he says, as the hypocrites do. You know, this word hypocrite, we don't like it. The Lord referred to the Pharisees as hypocrites. He spoke about them as that way. They were the religious sect. Boy, did they know the Bible. They really knew the Bible thick and thin. And they had it pretty good in the outward side. But this word hypocrite, it means acting, it was an actor who would wear a mask. And it would be an exaggerated portrayal of something else, someone else, a pretender. And it became a word used to display something that we're really not. You know, so a hypocrite is someone who displays something but really isn't that. And the Lord Jesus would say of the Pharisees that they were hypocrites. Let's look at the verse. It's in the Gospel of Mark. Chapter 7, and I'll give you the page number in a moment. Mark chapter 7, verse 6, this is on page 42, page 42 in the Chapel Bible. Mark chapter 7, this is the Lord Jesus. He answered, he's speaking to the Pharisees and the scribes. He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. They were not real Pharisees. And so he calls those that blow their own trumpet hypocrites. And notice, it says they blow their own trumpets in the synagogues and in the streets. These are the two places that their world surrounded, the synagogues and the streets. The synagogues we might apply to the Christian surroundings, you know. Maybe by going to church, we act a certain way. But also, you know, when we're in public in the streets, you know, among people maybe who have no faith in anything, we also don't act that way either. We kind of shift. We're one way in the synagogue or in the building here, and then we suddenly something else in the street. Or we're in both locations, we're not real. The Lord wants us to be real. He wants us to be genuine. You know, there's a characteristic of a hypocrite. A hypocrite really dislikes honest, frank, open people. They really do. They just say, they came to hate the Lord Jesus because he is pure, he is honest, he is the truth. And they came to really dislike him to the point they wanted to kill him. He pointed these shortcomings of them, and they were unwilling to look at themselves. We need to look at ourselves. If we're going to come to God for salvation, we have to recognize that we need salvation. And the only way we recognize we need salvation is that we have taken a God perspective of our condition. because honestly, we all have some measure of hypocrisy. We all do. I do. And if you're honest, you'll have to say yes. There's two major forms of hypocrisy. There's the non-believer or not yet believer posing as a believer. That's one group of hypocrites. But there's also the sinning, unfaithful Christian trying to pose as someone who is faithful and godly. That's also being a hypocrite. What is the purpose of this hypocrisy? In the middle verse, that they may have glory of men. Oh, we want to have those praises. They loved to sit in the most prominent places in the synagogues to receive the praise. They loved to pray in public long prayers and receive praise of those. Oh, look how spiritual that man is. He prays so long. And he is, they think through their many words that they'll be heard more by God. The Lord had to rebuke that. Honored by men. You know, the Apostle Paul tells us in the New Testament that we are not to be men pleasers. We are not to do things for eye service. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. It says, bondservants, be obedient to your masters in all things, not as men pleasers, doing things just so that when the boss is around, you know, then I'm busy, and the boss steps back into his office, closes the door, and then I'm goofing off, you know. I'm back on the net, internet, and doing my buying for my personal needs and playing solitaire. That's what I'm doing. But when the boss is out walking around, sees what I might be looking at in the computer, wow, I'm suddenly a hard-working man. No, that's not. That's the honor of men and how it fades so quickly, doesn't it? One day you're up, next day you're down. People give honor, and then the next day they turn around and, oh, you're no good. You know, it's not the kind of honor we should be seeking. The Lord says they have their reward. Other translations say they have their full reward. The transaction's been completed. A receipt has been generated and given. And there's nothing more to do with the transaction. You want your reward now? You got it. And there's nothing more. This is what their full reward is. The praise of men, but not the praise of God. Do we want the praise of men in this lifetime? Or do we want only the reward from the Lord in a future day? Verse 3. But when thou doest alms, oh, that's such a wonderful expression. Again, we said when. You know, it's not a matter of if. I need to consider doing good works, something God expects of each of us. You know, and there's such an array of things we can do that are good and are pleasing to the Lord. So many things we can do in the way of service and helping one another, helping the members of the body of Christ, helping the unsaved, helping people in general. You perhaps receive in the mail so many organizations, and there's so many good causes, you know. And for a Christian, we have many options, right? You know, the Lord gives us many things. Primarily, we should do things that can pertain to the kingdom of God, that help the cause of Christ. But there are other good things that we can do. You know, give to American Red Cross as an example, and Salvation Army, and they give food in times of crisis, and many other organizations. These are good deeds. Give a gift, perhaps even volunteer. But there is this way the Lord brings to us. He says, don't let your left hand not know what the right hand is doing. I'm amazed at that expression. It's like a proverb expression. Let your left hand not know what your right hand is doing. You know, today when we use this expression, if I said to you, well, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing, you would say, oh, it's a condition of chaos, confusion. That's not how the Lord Jesus meant it. That's not how he meant it. He meant the difference is here discreetness. that your left hand does not know what your right hand is doing is discreetness, that you're doing things discreetly, not with the blowing of the trumpet. This is how the Lord Jesus acted when he went about doing good. We have many examples of this in the Gospel of Mark. I just want to turn to a couple in Mark's chapter 1, Mark's Gospel chapter 1. That's the next Gospel over. It's on page 35. And we're going to look actually on page 36, Mark 1, verse 40. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. Imagine, he touched a leper, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, no delay, it's a miracle. Immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he, that is the Lord Jesus, straightly charged him, that is the leper, and forthwith sent him away, and said unto him, See, thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Don't bring contention to me, the Lord Jesus says. Here he says this, right? There are many other examples. I'm only giving a few. We can go back to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12. This is on page 13. I'm sorry, 12, page 12. I'm sorry, Matthew 12 is on page 12. And I'm going to read verse 15 and 16. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and a great multitude followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known. They should not make him known. He wasn't running for office. The Lord Jesus wasn't seeking a multitude of professing followers. He wanted reality in the heart, and he knew the heart of men. And he didn't want to bring attention to himself that way. He lived what he's now telling us to do. It's not as if he's saying one thing and doing another. The Lord Jesus did this. We cannot do all our righteous acts in secret. We know that. But we should do them in a way that brings glory to God and not to ourselves. These acts of righteousness do not make us more fit for heaven, but they prove that we are on the way to heaven. 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. It's found on page 241. 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. If ye know that he is righteous, that is, that the Lord Jesus is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him, or has been born of him, has been begotten of him. It's already a fact that when we do righteousness, it's just a display of the fact that we already are Christians. There's no righteous act that we can do to save ourselves. Only the righteousness of Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary saves a soul. Only his sacrificial work saves the sinner. And the sinner cannot save himself. But once the sinner has been saved, once we've passed from the kingdom of darkness over to the kingdom of the Son of God's love, we can now do good deeds. We can do good works. And it is only possible because of God's work in us. God does not need our gifts. However, he wants to see the fruit of our obedience and our giving. There was many examples of this. We've run out of time. But there are many examples of that point, that the giving is really for your blessing. When I'm a giver, I become blessed. We may think, well, when I give something, I have less of it. Therefore, I'm I'm hurting myself, right? I'm giving somebody a gift and now I don't have that. But the exact opposite happens. God sees that good work and he adds blessing. He measures it, he presses it down, and he expands it back to us. And we're not doing this because of that reason. We certainly don't preach, trying to manipulate God to bless us. But the fact is that we end up being receiving a blessing. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And this is what the Lord Jesus said, as quoted in the book of Acts. So may the Lord help us. He says here at the very end in verse 4, that your Father who sees in secret. You know, God sees everything. You may do something and there's nobody around. And you wonder, well, okay, nobody's going to give me credit for that. Good. May you get no credit in this lifetime for that. May I get no credit for it. Because my Father, God the Father, he saw it. And he will reward. We may even reward in this lifetime it be found out. Not because you wanted it to. But he will definitely do it in a future day. When is that day? That's when we reign with Christ. When we will be given responsibilities. He will reward openly. What a wonderful Savior we have. There's many principles of giving in the scriptures which we don't have time for right now. But perhaps we could look at it another time. These alms. What a precious privilege we have. What we do for others. Let us bow in a word of prayer. Our loving God and Father, we do thank thee that we have thy word. We thank thee that in thy word we see what pleases thee. We recognize also how we cannot measure up. And we thank thee for thy Son, the Lord Jesus, who is the perfect example, the one who obeyed thy word wholly and completely, and who has made the way for us to be saved and to be called children of God. We thank thee and ask thy help as now we consider how we may put into practice the giving of alms, doing righteous good works that would please thee. So we ask thy help. We thank thee for thy word. We commit ourselves to thee. We ask thee too, as this day many will be traveling great distances, that thou watch over and keep them safe. And we ask thee to bless us as we reconvene next Lord's Day. Praying all in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.